told me to quit yelling at the judge, but he wasn't making the rulings I wanted him to make.
David, back on again. Oh. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the second of our many, many preseason podcasts here at Hoops HD. Maybe like 7 or 8 of them. But I'm your host, Chad Shore. This is our Big East preview for the 2016-17 season. First, let me very quickly run through our cast here. We have Matt Sikowski back with us, John Stalica, Joby Fortson, and David Griggs, fresh out of jail. And this is, as I mentioned, our Big East preseason podcast. We want to get right into it. And obviously, the Big East proved last year that it did not make a mistake by separating from the other football-playing schools when Chris Jenkins hit a shot that may go down as one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my entire life to win the national championship, just put it that way.
Despite what the Pac-12 tells you, this is the real conference of champions right here.
Yeah, well, it's a champion.
Conference of a champion, absolutely. Villanova cutting down the nets. Total of half the conference made it into the NCAA tournament last year with Xavier, Seton Hall, a couple others.
Butler,
Providence. Yeah, yeah,
good
that's
job,
what I mean.
Chad. Yeah. Is on. Brought his A game tonight, people.
Oh, okay, people. Yeah. Okay, people. We are recording this at 11:30 at night. So, David, let me start with you here. Last season, Villanova did win the championship. Do you agree with me? Did the Big East really prove itself last year?
Yes. Well, they did, but I need to preface that by saying I thought that they had already had, and I realized one of the areas where they were coming up short was the NCAA tournament. Prior to last year, they had gotten a total of 10 teams in out of 20, which is half, but they had only put one team in the Sweet 16, and that was Xavier, who got there through a collapsed bracket. They beat an 11 seed and a 14 seed to get there. And they hadn't even beaten his team seeded better than 10th until last year. But minus the NCAA tournament, this conference had been really good. I thought it had proven itself already. And I almost think, not that the NCAA tournament isn't important, it certainly is, but I think when evaluating the overall strength of this league, we were undervaluing what this conference was doing during the 30-game regular season. I thought they had already proven themselves as it was.
But the funny thing is, the first teams that actually beat a single-digit seed was not Villanova. It was actually Providence and Butler, including Providence on a last-second shot.
But Joby, do you want to maybe take the counterpoint to this? Because Villanova was the only team from the Big East to get out of the first weekend, and which included a two-seed in Xavier that got upset early.
Right. No, the conference is still – it's on the elite level of conferences, without a doubt. I would actually take the point that Villanova showed what we sometimes as fans of the game get caught up in. Is that team's not a good – that team chokes in March. Yeah, you know, we get that. You know, Villanova had that label, without a doubt. If you were filling out a bracket, it's like, I'm not putting Villanova going all the way. I want to be different. The 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed I'm going to pick is in Villanova's bracket. Yeah, and we get that with Villanova. We get that, you know, we get that with Duke. And then Duke goes out and wins it. Wins the national title a couple of years ago. We've got to – be honest with ourselves in analyzing. I'm taking a broader view, and it's just a symbol of it. Is the Big East on par with the ACC right now? No, it's not. But is it a solid league that is one of the top ones? You dang right. We'll go as we go through it. You're going to hear some really good teams.
Okay, it's not on par with the ACC. Matt a lot about that because he's gone. But
it's on par with all the. It's not on par with the ACC this year. But I think. It's on par. Like, their down year, they got 4 out of 10 teams in. 40%, that's pretty good.
Well, let me start, and I was going to start with Matt here, but let me start with you, David, and talking about our defending national champions in Villanova.
You can start with
Oh, Matt is back. All right, Matt, you're back. I want to start with you here. With looking at this season and our defending national champions, who no longer have Ryan Archie Diacono, and they're huge incoming freshman Omari Spellman has been ruled ineligible for the season on top of that. Is this still a Final Four potential repeat team?
I think Final Four, yes. Championship, probably not, because I think I have Duke and Kansas probably a couple of steps ahead of them to where in both, especially Duke on the inside, but even Kansas a little bit on the inside. I think both might be have a little too much there. But Final Four is definitely within the realm of possibility. Well,
but without Ochefu, without Daniel Ochefu, without Ryan Archidiakono, how do they make up for these guys?
I think, yeah, Jalen Brunson will come in, and while maybe not quite the grit and all that of Archidiakono, is a more talented basketball player. I think he'll step seamlessly in at the point. And then you go, yeah, Booth, you either put Phil Booth at the two, or even you go a big lineup with Josh Hart at the two, Michael Bridges at the three, and then Chris Jenkins at the four, and have like 3 6-5 to 6-7 guys, 2 through 4. They're tough, could be tough matchups on both ends of the court.
And you also do have the kid from Fordham that came over, Eric.
Eric Paschal. He's going to have 3 years of eligibility.
And John, Villanova, are we in almost a 1-1A situation here with the first, with the top of the Big East with Villanova and Xavier again?
Well, they're going to be one until someone knocks them off. I mean, Xavier can't even go for the 1A label until they can win a Big East tournament or at the very least be a little more competitive against Villanova and Philly, because for their first three games at the Pavilion, they've lost by 20-plus points each time.
Well, David, how about this for the Xavier team, though, this year? I mean, do you think they can top Villanova?
I do, in large part because of Villanova's lack of depth, the eligibility issue, although Xavier's also potentially without a key player. I know that you're going to ask John about that. But as much as I liked Xavier last year, I think they're as good or better this year. I do. They would be, when you pull us at the end like you always do, they're going to be the team that I'm picking to win it.
Okay. Well, John, let me hit back to you real quick then. You got Edmund Sumner, you got Trevin Blewett and the like. We don't have Miles Davis suspended indefinitely, and it apparently is not looking like he's going to play this year. Is that correct?
Well, I'm preparing right now as if he's not going to be coming back, because it's probably, who knows how that's going to go with the team chemistry, but they do have a couple of freshmen waiting in the wings and Quentin Gooden and Tyreek Jones. They've also got, Rasheed Gaston, who's going to give them, 1 year of eligibility in the front court to help fill the roles that Jalen Reynolds and James Farr had vacated. And now even there's a guy from Florida A&M whose name is escaping me. That's
Malcolm Bernard.
That's also going to give him
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Xavier has become the MEAC here with a Norfolk State and a Florida A&M transfer, but oh, Joby.
If Xavier played in the MEAC, I think they do very well.
So Bernard especially is going from the outhouse to the penthouse and just 1 year.
Joby, your thoughts on the top of the Big East here and these two teams that we just started discussing?
I think you're going to see them 1 and 2 seeds. And, yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, the loss of Miles Davis is a big deal, just like the loss of Ochefu and the combined with the Spellman hurting the inside for Villanova. Each team has clear weaknesses, but, man, do they have strengths.
And wow. Don't forget J.P. McCura either, who's also probably going to be in a starting role this year.
Right, because
if he were in a Duke uniform, he'd probably be even more hated than Grayson Allen is right now.
I'm telling you, these top two teams are going to be tough. They're going to go out. We're going to learn a lot about the Big East. And sorry to refer back to a conference we've already done, but let's star up that Virginia at Villanova game. That's going to be one heck of a game, and we're going to find a lot about the top ends of both those conferences. And I think Villanova's, because they're at home, has to be favored in that game.
Well, that game won't be until the end of January, though. That's one of the
– That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So we're not going to find out early, unfortunately, but it will be a heck of a game. Yeah. I do agree. Matt, I think that you kind of agree with me that this Miles Davis thing, given Xavier's depth, isn't going to be that big of a factor.
I don't like this because I think he was so unique to Xavier and that he was their best shooter and also I think kind of their best playmaker facilitator, because I love Emden Sumner as a player, but he was kind of a shoot-first point guard. But when you had such an unselfish two-guard next to him, it kind of made up for the fact that Sumner is a shoot-first and second point guard. So I think it hurts him a bit. But, yeah, J.P. McCure is a real nice guy you can kind of throw into that role. To where, for any top 15 team losing a player of Davis's capability, most of them probably don't have a replacement as good as Bakura.
Yeah. Now, I realize we can't this is largely speculative, but I think we all kind of agree based on it's not looking like Miles Davis will be back. They have not come out and said that he won't be, but it's looking like he won't be. Does everybody kind of agree with that?
Yeah.
And that's very unfortunate, given more so for Davis than for Xavier, because I think Xavier's really good with or without him. But you know, to be at this level of your career, and to not be on a team like Midway, if he were to transfer somewhere else, he wouldn't be able to play until midway through the next year. He essentially loses a season and a half. But anyway,
well, David, let me stick with you here for a second. Beyond the Villanova-Xavier battle here, which I think I've almost sort of consensus that this is going to be the top two teams in the Big East, who do you think the next level team is? Who do you think the third team is here?
It's hard to say. Looking at it, you know, Butler is kind of lost a lot. Providence lost a lot.
A ton.
I kind of like Seton Hall just because of – I know that they lost some stuff too, but they have enough – coming back to where I think they could be one of the groups. But I like when you look at – once you get past Xavier and Nova, when you look at 3-7, it's kind of hard to say who I think is going to emerge right now. I'm just dodging your question.
Okay, you are. If you're dodging my choice, let me throw it over to Joby, let me mention the Seton Hall team. Isaiah Whitehead is gone, but you got Kadeem Carrington, Desi Rodriguez, Javon Thomas coming in from Kansas State. He won't be eligible until the second semester, but – I think it's a pretty good – I think they got enough weapons here to be a pretty good team.
That was a trap question, by the way, because I know the obvious answer, and I'm not going to go with Creighton. Well,
and I'll explain why later on.
Yeah.
I will go with Creighton when eventually that question comes.
I'm with you, Jubby, but like
– But in all honesty, Matt, my honest answer, I wouldn't want to steal your thunder, believe it or not. I'm actually going there. I think they still Seton Hall. What I like is they have a lot of depth. I think they have the plug and play type guys that come in. They were a tough team to figure out last year, and I don't know if that changes this year. I honestly think they're going to be at the tail end of this group of seven or the group of five.
Okay. The Seton Hall was. I mean, they did get a sixth seed last year after when it was said and done.
Should have been that bad.
They were those great wins, and they can put together if they can get those big wins like they did last year. I know it took an injury to do it against Xavier, but if they can do that again, of course. I don't know. I have trouble seeing them break out because maybe it's because I'm. They don't have the household name to do it, and maybe I'm just being a bad analyst in that way.
Well, John, let me turn it over to you here because you're our schedule guy. I mean, what do you see in Seton Hall's schedule? Can they get those big wins?
Well, I was also going to mention they have Delgado and Sanogo as part of a talented junior class that also included Carrington, Rodriguez, and originally Whitehead. Right. But if we go to Seton Hall's schedule – They have a game at Iowa that's part of the Gavitt tip-off series, and they're also going to be part of the Advocare Invitational this year that includes Florida, possibly Gonzaga, and then they also have a couple games in Hawaii against the Hawaii Rainbows and also California. And they also play South Carolina in Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken.
And don't forget the Rutgers game. Matt, I thought, sorry, you wanted to make a comment about this team?
Yeah, the one is, Matt, I think they are going to miss Whitehead terribly. That, like, even though the other guys are really talented, and, like, Angel Delgado is going to make a lot of money playing basketball going forward. But, man, like, that team, they revolved around him. And I don't think they have a replacement to where – even an adequate point guard, you put him in, I think they're a tournament team, maybe like 7, 8, 9 seed, but I don't think they have that. Like, Javon Thomas was not any good at Kansas State, and Bruce Weber was happy to send him packing. That
then who is your third best team in the Big East this year?
It's everybody else's Creighton, but mine.
I like Creighton to possibly challenge Xavier for second. I really like this Creighton roster.
Okay, I mean, let's talk about this Creighton team then. And, Joe, you wanted to talk about them also. Another K-State transfer, Marcus Foster coming in, Maurice Johnson, Cole Huff. I mean, yeah, what have we got here with this
Creighton team? And the fact is they had two guys who watched from the bench last year who – that's what they missed. They still had 20 wins, surprised people in doing that, even though they were in the second half of the conference in the final standings. Creighton, I think, is the team, and I know it's – I think they're the chic pick, and I think there's a reason for it because the players in question also have experience, you know, through their whether it's a redshirt situation or a transfer situation. So Creighton, look – I know – the coach situation, McDermott.
I know
where Griggs is going to go.
I'm waiting my turn.
Okay, wait. Well, before I get to
– I think this is going to be very reminiscent of those Creighton teams before the Big East was formed, before the name of McDermott, the player, took all of our attention. They were a solid program that, you know, would go out and beat the Nebraskas of the world, et cetera, and from the Valley. I think they're going to be that good again and show the Big East middle that they mean business.
Well, Cole Huff, you also have Mo Watson Jr. and Isaiah Zierden, who are also going to give Creighton some returning depth as well.
Yeah, and not to steal some of your thunder here, John, but one of the issues I have with Creighton is when you look at their schedule, David, as I throw them over to you, UMKC, Loyola Maryland, Longwood, Oral Roberts, and a huge game against Truman State. David, give us the anti-Creighton argument.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, they will enter conference play with a lot of Mo. They'll probably be in the rankings, probably high in the rankings, in the teens. They will probably do very well in the first half of conference play. They might enter February ranked in the top 10, and everybody around the country will be like, wow, look at Creighton. They're amazing. And, you know, we saw this from some Iowa State teams that McDermott coached, and we saw this even more with Northern Iowa with some of those teams. If the season ended in February, Greg McDermott would be probably in the Hall of Fame coach sitting next to Wooden. But what always happens at about the early to mid-February mark, they just start losing and losing and losing. And when they get to the second half of conference play, when they're playing everyone a second time, they just start dropping game after game after game. And it's not like it has only happened once or twice. It's been happening for years at three different places. In fact, like, if anything, it's happened less at Creighton than it has anywhere else. So I see them kind of backing into the NCAA tournament, if they're still even there after all of that, and not being a factor in March. But, yes, they play. They went to Betty Crocker, and they loaded up on cupcakes, and they're going to maintain their ranking. And they're probably going to win some big games, especially at home, in the first half of conference play. I don't think they maintain it. I know they're a popular pick. I know that they're a sensible pick. Me, personally, I'm out on a limb from here. I'm further away from the trunk of the tree than everybody else with the limb I'm out on. I don't think they're there in third at the end of the year. I really don't.
My favorite statistic involving Greg McDermott is 14-0. That is his lifetime record against one Tim Miles. David G. Puppet.
We're turning off.
And they do play again this year, December 7th at Nebraska.
They'll win.
Matt, you mentioned Butler as well. I think we should discuss this team because I am not very high on this Butler team, but there are a lot of people that seem to be out there. And I think that this may be a team that could be high picked as challenge for the top two, and other people could have them out of the field entirely based on what you see going in here. So I mean, what is it with this Butler team that you like or don't like?
I've got them actually thinking about the rankings. I have them sixth, but it's not a real hard sixth. I think I have a top three, four, five, and six pretty close to that Hall, maybe a game or two back of them at seventh. But again, with Butler, I don't love their point guard situation with Tyler Lewis. I think he might be a level above his depth here. Even, you know, I know he started NC State, now Butler. I think he probably should be in a Valley-type level school if he's going to be your starting point guard for 30 minutes a night. I do like most of their other pieces. It's funny. I mean, Keelan Martin's unbelievable. Great. And that Andrew Schrabbit's ideal second, third wheel. Tyler Wideman's actually underrated inside player. They're very good at the 3 through 5. And even the 2 with a couple of transfers, Keith and Savage and Avery Woodson. A couple of nice options there. It just scares me a point guard enough to where I think these teams are close enough that I have them just to not knock below a couple of our kind of perennial underachievers in the new formation. I think take a little bit of a step up that we'll mention shortly.
Yeah, I just don't know how they make up for the losses of Roosevelt Jones and Kellen Dunham. That's my problem with Baltimore. I just Joby, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying Dunham in particular. But I think Schrabbit's is actually the key, and then Matt kind of mentioned this. He stepped out in the NCAA tournament kind of out of nowhere, but he really stepped up. Often, I feel like when kids in that pressure situation take over a particular role in the tournament, it carries over to the next year, and I think that's where you might see some fill. But you're right, Dunham. Yeah, you know, trying to fill those shoes is tough.
I think matchups are going to be another key for Butler. I mean, teams like Villanova and Xavier were bad matchups for the Bulldogs last year, but teams like Creighton, Seton Hall, Butler did seem to have all the answers.
Well, John, let me stick with you for a second. A team nobody's mentioned yet that I think we definitely need to discuss a little bit here. I would argue maybe that the most disappointing team in the entire country last year was Georgetown.
I wasn't disappointed.
You weren't disappointed?
I was perfectly fine.
Oh, well, you were fine. Well, David, I mean, Smith Rivera is gone now, but could this almost be an addition by subtraction type of situation for this team this year? I mean, do you think they can get a lot better and not be finished with a losing record? David?
Oh, you're talking to me.
I thought I was talking to either you or John. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be better. I'm not really that big on them. I don't think they're in the NCAA tournament picture when it's all said and done. And a lot of that has to do with just being sour on how they played last year. And like you said, with what they lost.
I don't know.
Addition by subtraction. What makes you think that might be?
Well, I just think there was something wrong there with the team last year. There had to have been with all the talent they had. I mean, because you still got guys like Isaac Copeland, Bradley Hayes, Matt. I mean, is Georgetown one of your teams that you're looking at for this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm going the opposite of David. Not only I think they're in the NCAA tournament, I think they're wearing home whites in the first round.
Okay.
I think they make a strong return this year.
Grace.
They suck.
Well, there are some days they're winning at Xavier.
You know, they added Mulhome. Okay, way to go. You got 17 points a game at Allegheny Junior College. Whoopty freaking did. They are a mess. They're a hot mess. John Thompson III is not going to survive this season after this.
You really think so?
I agree with Chad, actually, the addition by subtraction, which I think this is the biggest case. I think there's actually another one to a lesser extent for the next team we probably discussed, but I think this is the biggest case.
Well, this
isn't necessarily DSR the player. I liked him as a player, but they were too reliant on him, and he should not have been their lead guard. Like, he should have been playing off the ball. And I think what quietly hurt them last year was Trey Campbell's preseason injury. I think you get him in this year, he's a guy pass first, can hit an open jumper, and he'll allow the other guys like LJ Peak, Isaac Copeland, Marcus Derrick's a very good 6'7 perimeter shooter. And that guy, I think, takes a big step up this year, Jesse Govan at the 5.
I think Rodney Pryor coming over from Robert Morris. I think he can definitely help the team here as well.
Yeah.
I'm with Matt on this team, actually. I'm not on Joby's John Thompson III getting fired.
There's no rule that says you can't be wrong. So just, I mean, if you want to pick to be wrong. Well, I mean, last year, you know, they started the season off with a loss to Radford, and then they just kind of tapered off after that. They started slow and tapered off.
John, let me bring you in here. Before I get to Matt's other team we want to discuss here, Providence was in the NCAA tournament last year. And now kind of lost their best two players, and is there anything left here for the Friars this season?
Well, they say goodbye to Chris Dunn and Ben Bennell, but they still have Rodney Bullock. And another guy that was kind of under the radar last year was Nick Fizikas, but he was also sidelined for a good chunk of the year last year because of mono. So he just wasn't the same player that he was early in the year when Providence was actually winning a few notable games and was also competitive against Michigan State in the Wooden Tournament.
Well, Joby, I know you were pretty big on this on Providence last season, more than I was. Do they have a shot to get back this year without Bentel and Dunn?
No, I mean, it's Chris Dunn. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Joby's my favorite analyst on the Big East so far. This is
okay. It was the Chris Dunn show. It was.
This is high quality stuff. They suck.
Well, they suck. And let's talk about a team that may not suck this year.
I just think Georgetown's a mess. I think JT3 has him. He has created a mess at structuring a team, and he can't figure his way out because he has a weird defensive-offensive systems that don't talk to each other. It's just awful.
Oh, I think it's actually interesting. I think they're going to reset. Like, here, besides my Georgetown prediction that we're at home, I think they sit in the top half of the KenPom pace rankings and maybe even to the top third. I think they're –
well, are they going to average 50 points a game, or are they going to average 70? My prediction is their opponents average 70 and they average 50.
That's not a good season.
So how do you feel about Georgetown this year?
Sorry. And I actually am usually a Georgetown apologist because, you know, I'm close to Washington.
Yeah, I thought, Joby, aren't you a Virginia alum? You sounded like an Maryland alum.
I have no dog in the Georgetown one way or another. I mean,
you're sounding like Mark Turgeon's press agent to kind of –
Well, so anyway. Let's keep it moving here, and Matt, let me throw it back to you with your team. Obviously, I know if you wanted to talk to him. Another team that lost a guy that was pretty decent, I guess, in Henry Ellenson. Another addition by subtraction here.
I think in the case of DSR, I think it was too reliant. But I think in Ellenson's case, it funneled way too much through him, and with everyone else coming back, I think it's talented. And you actually have another intriguing flash. Remember the name Sam Hauser. He's looked great in practice so far. I think he steps into Ellenson's spot in the lineup. And while he's not going to average 17-9 like Ellenson did, I can see maybe being a 10-5 guy, and he's deadly from the perimeter. Well, he was a freshman, might go 45% or better from three.
And you got a couple of transfers there, like guys like Andrew Rousey and Reinhardt from USC. But what do they do down low? That's my question with Marquette.
I think actually, this is where Ellenson be a god. I think he's going to free up. Luke Fisher has a really good senior year, like 14-8 in a block and a half a game. He's going to have a really nice – because I think what happens when they had two guys you were trying to get to on the inside, it jammed things up. And now you're taking Ellenson out to the ball went to more often. No doubt on that one. And now you get Fisher, and Fisher's willing to go back to the outside. So you get it into Fisher. You maybe try to double him. He'll get it to an open three. Yeah, between Hauser, Hanif Cheatham, Rousey, Reinhardt, and another intriguing freshman, Marcus Howard, who had a lot of success at the USA international level. I can play him in. He'll probably be off the bench this year, but a year or two will be a big-time player.
So, Joby, does Marquette suck?
No, I actually think Marquette is, if it's not, you know, Creighton's the cheek pick, as I said. But actually, my true pick, I wanted to let Matt go. My true pick is Marquette for third.
Really?
Third. I actually think they are going – I think you are going to see – they're going to be one of the surprise teams across the country. I do agree. This is where addition by subtraction. Fisher's good. Matt's exactly right. I think he's going to really surprise you on your inside question. And they should remind a lot of people – and this will make Matt maybe twinge when I say this – they're one of these teams that's going to rise up because their depth is so good. They've got really good depth. A lot like, sorry, Matt, Virginia Tech.
That's one.
I like this Marquette team. They are an NCAA team, and I think they just might be wearing white in an 8-9 game.
Well, David, we've got a couple of teams we haven't discussed yet. Which one do you want?
They're both sucktacular. Oh boy, St. John's, the Johnnies.
Oh man, you know
where did it go wrong?
Oh, I might have to come to the defense a little bit. Like, they're not going to be great, but I think they're going to be
significantly Oh, well, we're in agreement there. St. John's will not be great.
Well, we discussed with the ACC the fact that Boston College is going to improve by going from 0 to 1 win. St. John's may go from 1 to 2 wins, you know? After 1-17 last year.
What is wrong with these programs?
On St. John's, I actually think that Mullen is starting to get the recruits, and I think giving him a couple of years, I think Mullen may be able to do it here if he can do the X's and O's half of everything also. And that's maybe my biggest question with them.
Yeah. If we want a Big East hot take, I think they face ahead of Providence.
I could see it. I could see it happening.
Yeah.
But not DePaul. But how about DePaul? David, I want to say this for Salika, but we lost him because I know he's a big DePaul guy. But so let me let you take it.
I won't do it, Justin. But it's just, I mean, just the bottom of the sole of the shoe. I mean, just horrible. They have this new arena going in, and they've decided to put the students upstairs because they just didn't feel it was fair to make them sit that close to the action. They wanted them further away from that. DePaul, if they win 2-3 games, winning 3 games is an above average performance for them. It boggles the mind how they could be in that city, which loves basketball, have that much basketball talent around it, have a centrally located alumni base, and be that bad. We're talking about DePaul, John.
Joby, your thoughts on DePaul?
You've already heard my Georgetown rant.
That's what I was waiting for.
the sad thing, about DePaul is, I mean, this is the Terry Cummings, Mark Aguirre. I mean, I think it takes people as old as us to remember it, but they do. They should be better. And here's the shocking thing: is they have not won more than a third of their conference games for over a decade. I mean, that's a third, not half, not going 9-9. We're talking going 6-12. I mean, that's just remarkable how you can be that incompetent for that long with such natural advantages. And it's going to continue this year. They're not going to get to 6 wins, needless to say.
What's the problem? Like, Jerry Wainwright was a good coach. Oliver Purnell was a good coach. Why can't DePaul get it going? It doesn't make any sense.
Because now they have Dave Leto. I know all about
again.
That. I'd say, to go back to your point, Dave, you say Wainwright, pretty good coach before coming to DePaul. Oliver Purnell, pretty good coach coming to DePaul. What do you think we might have in common? It might not be the coach coming in there. It might just be the administration there that's a mess that, hey, it's great women's sports, all that. Hey, I'm probably the most liberal person on this panel, all that. But men's basketball is the moneymaker, and, well, they've been a tire fire for going on a decade now and for the best part of my adult lifetime.
Well, let's kind of wrap things up here with the Big East, and I can run through each of you like we've done previously. Ask you first for your prediction: who's going to win the conference, and second, how many teams make the NCAA? And Matt, I'll start right with you.
All right, I got Villanova to win by a couple of games, and I'm going to say 6 teams. And so now I have 10 teams in the ACC and 6 teams in the Big East.
When
we go to some of these other conferences, you're going to see a whole lot lower number.
Or you got 128 team field. That's Salika.
No, but like, because when you see the SEC, I think it's going to be a 3-ish team bid league.
Yeah.
And then I think the Pac-12 is going to be about 5 or 6. And then the Big Ten, I think, is only going to be about a 6 bid league or so for a 6 out of 14. And actually, I think the Big 12 might only be about 4. So therefore, this is where I like the Eastern Seaboard is going to get a lot of love come Selection Sunday.
Okay. Stalika, John, your picks.
I'm going to say Villanova wins the Big East. I'm going to say they get 5 NCAA tournament teams in Nova, Xavier, Creighton, Butler, and Seton Hall. And my other surprise is going to be St. John's actually gets up to the NIT this year.
Wow.
No. All right. That would be a surprise. Oh, boy.
Joby?
The coin flip came up Villanova between them and Xavier. And Xavier for the champion. 5 teams, like John said. But you've already heard my big surprise. It's not Seton Hall. It's Marquette. And Marquette will be 3 maybe tied with Creighton in the standings. How about that? But Marquette will be the team wearing white as an 8 or 9, the other two wearing dark. And then protected seeds top 1 or 2 for obviously the top 2.
And David?
Xavier, I think they're going to win it. I mean, I think Villanova is good. I just think Xavier's really good. And I have four teams, Xavier, Nova, Marquette, and Creighton backing in and home in time for the round of 32.
I'm going to go with Villanova to win the conference. I think it is a five-bid conference with Villanova, Xavier. I think I've got Seton Hall and Creighton. I'm kind of in a toss-up between my fifth team between the Georgetown, Butler, Marquette. I have been leaning Georgetown. You guys tonight may have convinced me on this Marquette bandwagon, though, so I may be revising that pick, but I think it is a five-bid
league. That was Joby doing more of the argument even than me here.
Yeah. Joby very much convinced me about Georgetown with two words. So.
The very detailed analysis that I gave.
I have six Big East teams, and Seton Hall is the one that doesn't. That was my one. Because I think most everyone else here thinks Hall's probably getting it. I think they stuck with Isaiah Whitehead. Not been like even tennis.
I agree 100%, yeah. Matt. Matt, the loss of Whitehead's huge. I didn't comment during the conference rundown, but I think you're right.
Right. Well, I guess on that note, for David Griggs, Joby Fortson, John Salika, Matt Sikowski, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back real soon with our next preview. I believe the Big 12 will be up next. And have a great night, everybody.